Heavenly Father, we do come together this morning to worship you. We come to praise you, to glorify your name. We do so because you have shown yourself to be worthy of our worship, and because you have won us back to yourself through your Son, Jesus, our Redeemer. We thank you for our Redeemer. Lord, as we are here now this morning, we ask that you would speak to us through your word in such a way that our lives would be touched by your loving hand, that we might be transformed to serve you faithfully in all we do. Use this time in that way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, those of you sitting in the back may need to squint a little bit, but I am holding up a pack of Marlboro cigarettes. I borrowed them from a friend of mine who buys them on a regular basis. I was curious to see if the side of the package still has the same thing printed on it as it used to have. And sure enough, I can read it right here. Surgeon General's warning. Quitting smoking now greatly reduces serious risks to your health. It's interesting that in spite of that warning, printed on every pack of cigarettes, there are still many people who continue to smoke them. If you notice, this pack is empty. Here's my question for you. Do you think that warning from the Surgeon General is mean-spirited or kind-hearted? Is it hateful or is it loving? You're hesitant to say, aren't you? It could be that a smoker does not like to hear that warning. It could be that any number of people don't like that it is true. But there's no mistaking the fact that the warning is given out of concern for people to live healthy lives as much as possible. Having been watchful regarding research and studies over decades, at best, it would be irresponsible for the Surgeon General to remain silent. There are other examples of the same dynamic. Last month, leading up to the solar eclipse on August 21st, do you remember the warnings? People were being warned not to look at the eclipse without special glasses or a viewer made out of their Captain Crunch cereal box. The experts were all saying, don't look. But you just know somebody looked anyway and got their retinas fried in the process. I sat outside that day for a few minutes during the peak of the eclipse. And even having heard all the warnings, there was part of me that still just wanted to go. But I chose to heed the warning to keep my vision. The very next night, there were tornado warnings posted on the TV for the area up by Boyertown. I knew that night my son John was visiting a friend who lives right by Boyertown. Well, guessing they were not watching TV, I called his cell phone to warn him about the danger so he could take proper precautions. Why did I do that? Why did I call? Simple, because I love him and did not want him to get hurt. Makes sense, doesn't it? More recently, we have all heard about the hurricanes that hit Houston and today Florida. Because meteorologists have been watchful, they knew the storms were coming. The warnings went out in every form possible to help people be as prepared as possible. Perhaps because of what had happened in Houston, people in Florida have been even more responsive to the warnings. But not everyone. And of course, there's the wildfires out west. I mean, we could go on and on with examples. Warnings given out of concern for those being warned. Well, in this new season here at St. Paul's, we are going to be looking at some particular facets of our faith as Christians. As depicted on the booklet cover, the light of the Lord shines into our lives with an impact that shows itself in many ways. Some of those are consistent from one person to another. Some are unique. But no part of our lives will be untouched. When properly seen as evidence of God's working, they both reflect his character and bring him glory. That is how we become his witnesses in both word and deed. Well, this morning we are starting a 3-week segment on hearing our Lord's pursuit, that facet of our faith. How through time God has taken the initiative to pursue us as people in order to draw us back into relationship with himself. Today we hear about the watchful warning used by God to protect us from the danger of being alienated from him. And understand, he's not just acting as a cosmic killjoy. He warns us because of his love for us and his desire for our genuine welfare. Based on our first lesson from the book of Ezekiel, I want to point out 3 aspects involved with how God does that. We're on page 743 in the Pew Bibles, if you want to follow along. Describing events taking place roughly 2,603 years ago, this lesson tells of how the Old Testament priest and prophet Ezekiel was being used by God as a watchman to sound a warning to his covenant people, the people of Israel. First, we hear how God calls on leaders to warn people about the consequences of turning their backs on the Lord. In verse 7, we read, it's the Lord speaking, and we hear, "Now as for you, son of man, I have appointed you a watchman for the house of Israel, so you will hear a message from my mouth and give them warning from me." In a unique way, the people of Israel have been called and set apart to live in relationship with God as his chosen people. Not so they could say, "Nanny, nanny, boo, boo, we're special and you're not." No, they were to live in relationship with God in such a way that his light would shine through them to be seen by the rest of the world. God had equipped them with his word for that purpose. The idea being that others would be drawn to God as a result, realizing that everybody has been created for relationship with God. But the people of Israel had not done so well with that calling and privilege given to them by God. In fact, they had turned away from the Lord. Ezekiel was called by God to serve as a watchman, keeping a lookout for potential danger so that he could issue a warning when needed. The warning spoken through Ezekiel involved the consequences of the people ignoring God and the commandments he had given them for living out their lives. Others had been used by God in similar ways, warning that continued rebellion would lead to significant discipline, warnings they by and large ignored. By this time, Jerusalem and Judah had been conquered and taken into captivity by the Babylonians as part of that discipline from God. But you know what's interesting in all this? The Lord was not willing to give up on the people he loved. Ezekiel being one more example of God pursuing the wayward people. Even though they were in exile in Babylon, God was still pursuing the people, calling them to return to him. Hence, the watchful warning. I don't know about you, but personally, I find it much easier to speak of a better way than speaking words of warning. Not only does it sound more positive, it also feels nicer. I like to be thought of as nice. There's a problem, though. Only speaking of a better way loses a sense of urgency and significance. To say only there's a better way is not a warning, but more like a debate. A warning points to detrimental consequences of events or behavior. The crux of the warning is still valid. Ignoring God, turning away from the Lord, rebelling against him is ruinous to our lives. Maybe not as obvious immediately, but ultimately that will be unmistakable. The Lord warns us of that truth because He loves us and has something better for us. Second, in this lesson, we also hear how each person is responsible and accountable for their own response to God's pursuit. Picking up in verse 8, again, it's still the Lord speaking. He says, "When I say to the wicked, 'O wicked man, you will surely die,' and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from your hand. But if you, on your part, warn a wicked man to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your life." What's going on here? I know this may sound strange to us, but it is really pretty straightforward. If Ezekiel was irresponsible and did not warn people, God would hold Ezekiel accountable for not warning the people. On the other hand, having heard the warning from Ezekiel, each person would be responsible for their own response. I mean, think about it with the hurricanes. We would be real upset if leaders knew a hurricane was coming and didn't warn us. Wouldn't we? Accountability would be sought and expected. We get that, don't we? But if warnings were given and some chose to ignore the dangers, we would recognize their personal responsibility. It's the same idea here. In his ongoing pursuit, God had spoken both words of hope and words of warning. He had revealed the positive incentives of obedience as well as the negative consequences of rebellion. It was up to each person to decide how to respond to what God had said. Using today's terminology, the cumulative response of the people was what shaped what we would call the cultural trend of the nation. It wasn't some outside force imposed on them. It was the weight of one person after another choosing to turn away from God and His ways. If we find ourselves dismayed by the state of our culture, we need to remember that is simply the collective weight of individual responses. Our being caught up in the current of cultural trends is a result of our own choices. That means we can't blame mom or dad, our teacher or coach, our friend or neighbor, or even the prevailing cultural trends, as in everybody's doing it. When we choose to go along to get along, it is still a choice we make. Now, if we're talking about choosing between wearing blue jeans or chinos while cutting the grass, it's no big deal, is it? But if we're choosing between following the ways of God or the ways of the world, that's significant. It has to do with more than external appearances. It has everything to do with living in relationship with God or in rebellion against Him. It is a life or death decision, which leads to our last point. Third, with the warning this morning, we hear a penetrating question posed by God through Ezekiel. Verse 11, the Lord says, "Say to them, 'As I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel?'" Do you hear it? God is crying out to his beloved people, "Why die?" That's certainly not what God wanted. He did not want the nation destroyed and the people taken into captivity. But the trajectory of the nation was toward death. They were in that situation because of their many choices, which grew into a pattern. And if they did not change and return to the Lord, their ongoing rebellion was leading to death. He was watching that unfold, even as they seemed to be oblivious to the danger. But because God had not given up his pursuit of the people, he issues the warning along with the positive alternative. Did you hear it? Turn back and live. Turn back and live. You see, given the alternatives, we hear the warning in a different way, don't we? Not as mean, but as loving. The Lord pursuing us so that we may live rather than die. God has made us for relationship with himself. And even though we turn away, because he loves us so much, he continues to pursue us to draw us back to himself. The ultimate example of that pursuit is sending his son to be our Savior. Jesus being the way and the truth and the life, giving himself on the cross as a sacrifice for our sin, so that we may have forgiveness and redemption and be reconciled to God. How we respond to that gracious gift is up to each one of us. It is a choice between life and death, one we each must make for ourselves. And then he uses us in his ongoing pursuit of others. We hear it in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans. The Lord continues even now to pursue people, to draw them back to himself. And he uses the redeemed to reach out to the rebellious. What does that mean? It means as Christians, we have the calling and privilege to share about Jesus, that he came, the work he accomplished as Savior, that one day he will come again as judge, just like we say in the Creed every Sunday. To do that is to show love to the person with whom we share. We are watchful because we know he is coming back. We share the gospel, the good news with others, as an act of love for them, warning them regarding the consequences of rejecting Jesus and assuring them regarding the positive consequences of the alternative of faith in Jesus who came to reconcile us with God. In those ways, our Lord is using us as his instruments in his loving pursuit of others. Folks, that is at the heart of our parish vision here at St. Paul's, to work together as followers of Jesus, carrying the word of God to our community, helping the lost come to faith in Jesus so all may see his transforming work in their lives. Last week, on my birthday, my oldest brother called to say happy birthday. In addition to just generally catching up with each other, we got talking about other things. And he surprised me when he asked a question. He asked, why is it that some people who have been involved in church most of their lives still don't see the need to make a personal decision to trust in Jesus? I'm not making that up. He really did ask that question. We talked to some about various reasons, like lack of clear teaching and preaching, that sort of thing, but ended with understanding it is ultimately a spiritual matter for each person. The people of Israel had been around the temple worship and heard the word of God taught, but still chose to ignore him. It seems to be a human condition. As I've said many times, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sleeping in the garage makes you a car. To put it another way, with football season just starting up, going to every Eagles game, home and away, would not make me a football player. Being in relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ is a choice we each have to make in response to who he is and what he has done for us to make that possible. We'll continue this next week. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, even though it is hard sometimes to hear your words of warning, help us to hear just as clearly your heart of love that is prompting you to warn us. You know the dangers better than we do. And you keep calling us back to yourself. We are grateful for your mercy and your grace in doing that. Let us be responsive to your warning, that we might recognize the benefits of all that it means to know you and love you and serve you through faith in Jesus Christ. We pray it in his name. Amen.